It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What's going on, everyone? Taylor Kyles here for CLNS Media, coming at you with another episode of Pats Daily, brought to you by our good friends at Prize Picks, the exclusive daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. It's draft week, baby. Finally time after weeks, months, however long you've been at it, of looking through all these prospects, trying to see who would be a good fit for this Patriots team with a whole lot of holes. It's finally upon us. And to help me prepare this week, I'm bringing in some of my favorite people in the industry to give me the idea of where they think the Patriots are at and what they should do in the draft. We're kicking off the week with one of my favorite people, as I said, Mina Kimes of ESPN. Before we get into all the many needs that the Patriots have, specifically on the offensive side of the ball, I got to ask, Mina, how are you doing during one of the busiest times of the year?
Yeah, trying to get all my ducks in a row before NFL Live goes to Detroit for the Thursday and Friday of draft week. We do two-hour shows, very focused, of course, on the first round of the draft. A lot of Patriots talk on all of our programming for the very obvious reason. So I'm excited to get into this with you because nobody knows the Patriots as well as you.
Stop it. All right. So before we get into the Patriots talk, I'm curious because you've watched a lot of these first round prospects.
Yeah.
Who is either your favorite or someone you think isn't getting enough love? Or if that's the same person, go with that.
Oh, God. A lot of my favorites are the players who are getting a lot of love. I think the big three of the wide receivers are, and this is what makes the Patriots pick so interesting, right? Or I guess, introduces some uncertainty to the equation. They're just phenomenal. I think they're all so, I think that both have such, all three have such incredible upside. Of course, talking about Marvin Harrison Jr., Roma Dunze, and Malik Nabers. And I just love, like, it's a joy to watch their tape, honestly. But those are very obvious names that everybody loves. I guess in the later rounds, I am very high on Ladd McConkey, who's a player maybe I would throw out, who could be available for the Patriots in the second round. I think very likely will be. So that's an interesting name. Probably not the profile that most people are looking for your team. We'll get into that. But I think just his movement abilities, his feel for defenses, for zones, the way he sets up defenders, his work line of scrimmage, his hands at his size, all really impressive.
Ladd McConkey was born to run out routes, I swear. And then the double moves off it, just bread and butter. That's going to be fun to watch in the pros. Now, as we get into the Patriots talk, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about what they should be doing with their first pick because there's so many needs on the roster. So looking from a big picture perspective, how do you feel the Patriots are looking right now, considering they were pretty quiet in free agency when you talk about, what they did out of house? But I felt like internally, they did what they needed to do. This is a team that said we want to draft, develop, and retain our key players. And it felt like even the guys that they didn't draft, but the guys who have been doing the right thing over the past few years, felt like they did a pretty good job in that area, but obviously still a long way to go before they're a really competitive roster.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings because I feel like you're right. The approach was very much to reward players in-house, and all the players that they retained are good players and reasonable contracts. I mean, I still can't believe that Josh Uche contract. Maybe you can explain that to me. I didn't really. I guess it's, he wants to bet on himself. But yeah, so on one hand, I agree with all the decisions they made. On the other hand, if they do get quarterback at three, and we'll talk about it, I would feel a lot better about that decision if they had made an effort, but if they had brought in like a real playmaker at wide receiver. If we talk in a few days and somehow they've traded for Brandon Ayuk, I'll feel a lot better about their offseason, for example, although he's saying that he doesn't want to be traded. So It's a bit of an incomplete. Obviously, we'll see what they do in the draft, and that'll really inform how I feel about the offseason.
From your lips to the football gods' ears when it comes to Brandon Ayuk. I don't know if that's going to happen, but boy, would that be sweet. But like you mentioned, the Patriots didn't get a lack of firepower for a lack of effort. They did try to get Calvin Ridley. You know, we heard from Jerod Mayo, Robert Kraft, who probably said more than he should have. Some of those comments were a little off. But the bottom line seemed to be that the fact that they do have an uncertain quarterback position did play a factor in their inability to get that caliber of player. So there's been some talk about what they should do at number three. Are there too many holes on this roster that they should trade and try to get more picks, more swings at the bat? Jerod Mayo's acknowledged is on the table. And then obviously there's talk about quarterback, even some talk about Marvin Harrison Jr., which, I mean, that's kind of a pie in the sky take for me. I feel like when you need a quarterback and a left tackle, you can't be going and spending the number three pick on a wide receiver. But how do you feel about what they should do? Do you agree with the take that, you know, if you get more picks, it's better for a team that is in this rebuild? Or are you of the kind of perspective, and this is where I'm at, that if you get the quarterback, that ends up solving a lot of your problems, makes a lot of the other things easier, and then you can kind of build around that guy?
Yeah, I'd take the quarterback in this case because I think it's on one level, there's the abstract conversation about team building, roster construction, timeline. And I think in a vacuum, you can certainly mount an argument for them to pass on the quarterback this year so that they can improve the situation around the quarterback. And they would be very well situated to do so in a draft that's remarkably stocked with, you know, wide receivers and tackles, the two positions that, of course, the Patriots need the most. So there's a real opportunity to set your quarterback for success. However, and that's the abstract discussion. Then there's the real life discussion where we're talking about actual players. We're talking about specific quarterbacks. If this was 2022, I would say absolutely you're not taking quarterback. You know, don't you? I guess I would have been picked, right? Like, no, right? But it's not. So, you know, if we are talking about Drake May or Jaden Daniels, I would honestly feel that they should take the quarterback in either case. Not everybody agrees on that count, but my preference based on what I've seen from those quarterbacks would be to draft them and then attack the other positions. And there's a litany of things you could do. But I feel like the opportunity to get a quarterback that I think in those two can solve some of the problems that this franchise has faced over the last few years is just too tempting.
And when it comes to that Drake May versus Jaden Daniels conversation, we're going to get into a quick mock at the end of the show, but it's really not going to be up to the Patriots or us when it comes to who they actually get to pick if they are going to choose between one of those two guys. So what's your take on the Jaden Daniels versus Drake May discussion again? This is more, I guess, for the Commanders because they really do have the choice. But obviously, these are two guys where one of them is going to go to New England. They both have things that make them exciting prospects, things that may worry you a little bit. So where do you stand when it comes to those two guys?
I like them both a fair amount, which I know is a little bit of a cop-out answer, but it's just true. I do like them both a lot. I think they both bring a lot to the table. Very different players, however. You know, Daniels' tape last year, it's amazing. Obviously, it was incredible circumstances, though, and that certainly informs, although we have seen quarterbacks who were incredible situations, most recently C.J. Stroud, obviously go on to have success in the NFL, so I don't think that's necessarily means that he won't have success just because he played behind a great offensive line with obviously tremendous weapons at LSU. But I think he's got a good arm. I wouldn't say a great arm, but I think it's funny because he's so different from Joe Burrow in some ways. I actually view his arm strength as being like kind of similar to Joe Burrow's in that, you know, he throws with accuracy and touch. He doesn't have like a Herbert or Allen style howitzer, or I would say the other two quarterbacks at the top three both have stronger arms and more arm talent, but he's very accurate. I think he's smart. You saw the LSU offense, you know, full field reads, going through his progressions, good decision making on the whole. And then he's got like incredible speed. Now, I think it's important to distinguish his speed from playmaking, which is what I view the other two quarterbacks as having. You know, Jaden Daniels is when he checks down to his feet, which he does often for good reason. It's unbelievable. He's amazing, but he is checking down to his feet. He is not breaking the pocket with an intention to throw downfield most of the time. And I think that's probably why I have a slight preference for May, to be honest, because I think that creativity on the run, the fact that when he does break the pocket, he's so often keeping his eyes downfield and trying to make plays. That's just so fundamental. It's not necessary, but so many of the great quarterbacks in the NFL right now have that ability, of course, including when I mentioned Josh Allen in the Patriots division.
And you do wonder with Jaden Daniels. One, you don't know how these guys are getting coached. And when you're the best athlete on the field at the quarterback position and you got a runway, I'm sure his coaches were like, yeah, man, if you got a space, absolutely exploit it. But then there were also times where you watch and you're like, I get it, but there's also that dig coming open right behind you that you could hit. And there are some parts where I think arm strength kind of ties into the fact that he runs to run. It doesn't always run to throw. Because when you see him kind of get off platform and have to make those throws on the run, I know there's one, I think it was against Ole Miss, where he's going left and he really has to put his entire body into it and kind of strain. So I'm curious a bit, you know, where the ceiling is in that case, whether, you know, just coach it up a little bit, you'll see that part of his game more. And that's kind of why I'm curious how you feel about the Patriots potentially trading back just a few spots and maybe going for someone like a J.J. McCarthy. Now, personally, I'm of the belief, especially more recently, where like I do like Jaden. But when I see JJ, is there a ton that we don't know about his game? Absolutely. But you also saw like in third down, this guy was hyper efficient. I think he has way more athleticism and playmaking ability than he's getting any credit for. Feels like people just act like he's, I guess, in a sense, kind of a Mac Jones, a 2023 Mac Jones.
No, where
he's
like, no.
It's not that at all. The profile, if you really want to like squint at it, like sure, they're national championship winning teams. And, you know, I guess they're both like white guys, I guess. But really, athletically, they're completely different prospects. So how would you feel about the idea the Patriots maybe banking on what I would maybe say is more upside with J.J. McCarthy versus with Jaden, where you're saying, we know what we're going to get. This is a guy who we can put on the field and he can contribute immediately. And, you know, he may still have room to grow, but I feel like for the most part, you kind of know what you're going to get from him.
I have a preference for Daniels. However, if you told me that you could trade down and get him and get all this incredible, you know, draft capital in the process, that would be alluring. I'm just not sure that's possible given the way the league seems to view J.J. McCarthy. It could be smoke, but it sounds like he is going to go in the top six. Maybe I'm wrong, right? So if that were to happen, you're really not trading down that far. And I don't know how much you would actually pick up in the process for me to make the difference worth it. I do like McCarthy. I think he's a really interesting prospect. It's funny. I actually thought of a comp today, or at least kind of floated one to my colleague Dan Orlovsky when I was just watching him throw. He reminds me a little bit of Ryan Tannehill at times, who was very mobile. And I think they have similar types of mobility. Mm-hmm. But also sort of the way he throws, which is the line drive aspect of it. You know, J.J. McCarthy's all fastball. And I think he can improve upon that, but it does remind me a little bit of watching Tannehill at times. I would not love him in New England unless you were able to dramatically improve the circumstances around him. But to our point, I'm not sure that that'd be entirely possible with a trade down.
Yeah, it's interesting. And even at Michigan, like to be totally fair, I think he still did a good amount with guys where like Roman Wilson obviously might be a second round pick, but like Cornelius Johnson and AJ Barner, like these are guys that he's throwing to, we're probably going to be day three picks. So again, kind of for that J.J. McCarthy bandwagon, if you're on it, I do think there's legitimately a case to make for him. So we're going to get into a quick mock. We're going to do like three or four rounds, see what kind of players we can get for New England. But first, quick words from our friends at Prize Picks. Be right back. Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball and hockey entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. I personally love Prize Picks because they're super easy to use, easy to navigate, and they offer injury insurance, so your entries stay live even if one of your players gets injured. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. All right, now let's fire up the old mock draft machine.
I was just about to pull that up and look at it, yeah.
Oh, there we go. All right, step ahead. All right, so we're going to go Patriots. We're thinking 3 or 4 rounds. What sounds better?
Let's do 3 so that I actually know what I'm talking about, or some semblance of it.
I think three. Three is a nice round number. That works. All right. So kick things off. Oh, we got Drake May. The crowd goes wild, unless you're a Jaden Daniels fan, of which I am sorry. So are we locked into May, or are we thinking maybe Marvin Harrison, maybe look at the trade situations? How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm taking May here. It's funny because we spend so much time talking about May or whatever quarterback versus a trade down, which would be, you know, the most realistic option is, of course, the Minnesota trade, right? 11 and 23 moving up and then throwing in a first. Really, the Trey Lance package is kind of because you're looking at a similar move that I think Marvin Harrison kind of gets left out of the equation. And I don't think he should. I think he's that good of clean of a prospect. And if I'm a Pats fan, the idea of not having him, given the fact that that's been an issue for you, it does make me a little sick, honestly. I'm that high on MHJ, but I would still take May for the reasons that we discussed. I just think in this draft, these quarterbacks, I feel high. I like them enough. Obviously, you know, I can say next year doesn't look as good, and that always changes. Who would have known Jaden Daniels would make the climb he did, for example? But I feel enough. Personally, I feel enough conviction about these top three that I would go quarterback.
You mentioned the 2022 class, where legitimately you look back and you're like, there was not a true first rounder in the entire class. Really don't want to play that kind of gambling when you're the Patriots restarting. And honestly, I put off watching Marvin Harrison Jr. until last week or 2 weeks ago, just because I knew what I was going to find. I knew I knew it was going to make me sad. And then I watched, and that's exactly what happened. The one thing that kind of gave me some solace was the Michigan game, where like there was an interception that he didn't really fight for. And I was like, oh, so he's human. Okay, so he's not just out here literally taking people's souls, sending dudes to the shadow realm every play. But realistically, he's a fantastic prospect. So I'm sorry if you're on the Marvin Harrison bandwagon, but we got to go with the quarterback. And I'm not mad about it, if I'm being totally honest. All right. Now, are we going to entertain the idea of a trade here, or do you want to stick to the board and look at some positions, offense or defense?
Let's stick to the board.
All right. So do we think this is too early for, honestly, is there any excuse for the Patriots to take a defensive player in the first three rounds if they stick to where they are?
Let's see who we got. McKinstry, Newbin, Wilson. This is using PFFs, obviously. Tampa. Sanders still is such a Patriot, but you don't need him.
If they get an extra pick, I'm sprinting. I'll do it myself. I'm going to get up to that board and get him. Yeah, Belichick of course, player. Not realistic right now.
Yeah, he's such a Bill Belichick player. Lassiter. So I'll just say this. If there was a scenario where one of the top three edges, maybe even four, dropped, you might consider it. But none of them have in this. Right. And I don't think that's likely given the way things are shaking out in the 20s and most of the mocks I'm doing. Talking, of course, about Dallas Turner, Laiatu Latu, Jared Verse, I guess Chop Robinson, although I would be a little bit reluctant. I'm not a huge Chop person. So I think you're going to go receiver here or tackle and feel pretty good about it. Just, you're probably not. I mean, I can't see a world in which you go defense.
Real quick, I got to ask you what your take is on Chop, because early on when he was actually falling in these mock drafts, I was sprinting. Maybe it's the Penn State in me. Like, maybe I'm scouting the helmet a little too much, but he just, like, he scares me. Like, when I watch certain players and I watch him and I'm like, ooh, wouldn't want to be walking across you in a dark alley. He's in that category, but I haven't watched him super closely. So what's your take there?
Yeah, I just don't. It's funny because I think whatever the opposite of traits spilled is what is happening to me with edge rushers, where there's been so many examples over the last really 5 to 7 years of like raw the edge rushers coming into the NFL where, you know, the production is not there, but the athleticism is. And that would be the case with Chop. The get off, the bend, traits are insane. But he had 4 sacks. And when you put him on tape, he's just so raw as a rusher. And I just don't love that recent history. I also think with New England and Uche, I feel like I would be surprised if that was the kind of profile of edge rusher that they would go for, honestly. So yeah, I'm a little bit lower on him than a lot of people because of that.
That does make a lot of sense. Also kind of ties into this discussion when we're talking about tackle. I feel like we're seeing more every year because there are so few opportunities for these guys to practice, especially offensive linemen, where it's a position that, or like trench players in general, where it's so hard to really get your fundamentals down and really refine your craft because there are so few chances to do it in practices with it. Obviously, you can't be padded as much and there's not as much physicality. So that's where when it comes to like tackles, if Amarius Mims were to fall to the Patriots, I still wonder, is it more valuable to have a guy who, like, yeah, he needs improvement, but has the experience where you know he can probably learn more quickly versus someone like a Mims where he has so little experience, you're kind of banking on this guy picking things up without getting as many reps as you'd ideally like to have?
The thing about Mims is it's 8 starts, right? And so the sample size is small and there's some injury history, but it's not like Chop where it's like, oh, okay, you have the tools, but there's no production. In those 8 starts, he was awesome. Yeah. So, and against high level competition too. So I feel like, yes, there's a ton of projection there and the lack of reps is concerning, but I do think in the reps he did have, you saw enough to feel really good about his upside. I don't see him on our board, but if he was there, I would take him.
Yeah. Where did he go? He went way early. Where is he? I probably pass him at some point, but yeah, he's gone. Yeah. But no, I'm the same boat because anytime someone does bring up the inexperienced thing to me, I'm like, no, watch his tape and you tell me how long you think he's playing. So of the people who are on the board, who do you like at 34 overall?
Okay. So tackle wise, I'm seeing Sua Mattia, the Yale kid. It's not great. Wow. Yeah. PFF is really low on Xavier Legette.
I don't get it.
Because that was going to be – I was looking for him, actually. Wow.
He's okay. Usually my go-to. It's either him or Kingsley. If Leggett's gone, I usually go with Kingsley in these.
Interesting. Yeah. For me, the debate – so it's McConkey to the Patriots, a little on the nose. Not an area of need, obviously. Here's the thing. If we're assuming that we're not trading for Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins or whatever, and this is – we're rolling into the year with Osborne, Bourne, Douglas – Rager, Juju,
Buff Taekwon. I don't know if you've seen. He got big. I don't know what it means. I don't know if it's going to translate, but the dude got swole. But yeah, that's
well, you need size and speed, and Legette brings that to the table. Man, I'm really going off of their board. I do like Pearsall. I think he's got some outside ability. I think Franklin, he's tricky for me because he brings something that you really need, which is speed and separation, and he is really good at that. And the size is a massive concern with his, but I do think there's just so much recent precedent of smaller receivers, slighter receivers having success in the NFL. For me, it's going to be between Legette and Franklin for this wide receiver pick.
You're not Coleman? Not into Keon Coleman?
I don't think he's what New England needs. I like him. Sure. I think you need a separator, to be honest, for Drake May. People won't agree with this. I'm going to go Franklin. I know he's very divisive. I know a lot of people think he's too slight, but I think that I think he's an underrated route runner. He's a little craftier than he's given credit for. And I just think that speed is what you need to round out that receiving group.
I agree. Honestly, I like you going against the grain a little bit because it's not fun. Honestly, if we pick Legette, people have seen that mock for me so many times, but with Franklin one, he's a guy like I know people are, you know, kind of traumatized by the whole Tyquan Thornton experiment. Has yet to end, you know, he's still on the roster, but we've seen he can't stay healthy. We've seen the hands are an issue, and Troy Franklin does also have small hands, a slight frame, the things you do have to consider. But Franklin has experience at X. Like, again, like you said, that's something the Patriots actually need. And the route running, I agree. He's someone who knows how to use his speed. He's pretty quick. And unlike Tyquan, who I feel like at this point in his career is more of a one-trick pony. I mean, he doesn't really have any tricks because I think he has less than like 300 career yards. But I don't think he gives you as much underneath. If you give him a runway, then you'll see that straight line speed. But I feel like Troy Franklin's got a little bit more wiggle underneath.
And we drafted Drake May. Drake May will keep launching that thing. I mean, yeah. That's one of my favorite traits of his is that even though the receivers he played with were not good, he kept attacking. He's super aggressive and he will keep throwing the ball downfield. And I think in Franklin, you'd have a guy who can actually be on the receiving end of that and catch it. Now he gets very fast too. And I've heard the DK Metcalf comparisons and he is very physical and imposing presence. It's tempting, but I think Franklin is a little bit more polished, to be honest.
I absolutely agree.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Drake May, most big-time throws in this draft class, which is, again, mind-blowing when you consider the people he was playing with and the fact that you got, like, Michael Penix Jr. up there who's throwing at guys who are going to get taken in the first couple days.
I can't even tell you guys the number of go balls that his receivers dropped that had me, like, tearing out my hair. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad that I'm not the only one who lost some follicles watching that tape. All right, so we got Troy Franklin second. Do we double-dip at receiver and bank on some of the depth at tackle for whoever? That's not our business. Or are we going to just bite the bullet? That's it. Are we going to bite the bullet and take the guy from Yale? Because it doesn't look like there's any great tackle prospects. Yeah. Fisher's solid, but probably not what you're looking for right now. What do you think? And are we keeping it to tackle and receiver?
I'm looking at who we got. So we got the Yale guy who I'm not going to try to say his name. I haven't learned the pronunciation yet. Tez Walker. I'm not. Yeah.
One of the guys that I was pulling my hair.
We were literally just complaining about them. Yeah.
No thanks.
Who else do we have at receiver? Johnny Wilson, who's gigantic, but I think this is rich for him. The third round. Wow. All the receivers.
Austin Hooker so much. He's one of those guys where if they got an extra pick and could afford to get a defender, oh my God, that's your Uche replacement. Don't think twice.
Javon Baker is interesting. I'll just say that. He is – I'm trying to see where he's been going mostly. It's interesting to me.
He's weird. I feel like he could go anywhere from, like, the mid to late second to the fourth. I've seen him taken all over the place, and I get why.
Yeah. I mean, I think third round is probably a little rich. Go back up. Let's see. So I know we've got our needs. Mm-hmm. I do think funny because you really don't need the interior. You really do need a tackle. Otherwise, I would say Christian Haynes is actually a player I like a lot. Trice is there. I do like Trice.
Yeah, it's tough.
This
would be way easier, but
I know all of this would be a lot easier. Okay. If you like the Yale guy, I honestly, I'm not gonna lie. I have not watched him.
This is your mock, Mina. You pick who you want to pick.
I am not going to pretend like I have watched a minute of Kieran, the Yale guy. I know people like him a lot. I'm pulling up his measurables. I'm just curious. And everyone says he's like unbelievably raw, but like very intriguing is the thing you hear a lot.
I know Brandon Thorne has him as like a fourth round pick. And I trust Brandon's offensive line opinions with my life.
So is Booker on the board? You said Booker's on the board.
Yeah, off the Booker right there.
Interesting. Wow, they're low on him. So for me, probably at this point, given who we're seeing on this board, I would probably go with either Booker or Trice because I do think Edge is a sneaky need for the Patriots. I'll probably take Trice, who PFF is a little bit higher on Booker. I see the case for both. Mm-hmm. I think Trice is a little bit more, he's more pro ready in my opinion. I think you saw in the second half of the season in Washington, I think, you know, his production was really heavily affected as he came back from injury. It was quiet for a while, but he really came alive in the second half of the year against some very good offensive lines. And I think, let's see how old he is. Yeah. He's a little bit of an older prospect. He's 23.
Okay.
But I think, Booker is obviously quite a bit younger. Maybe we should take Booker. Okay, yeah. I'll take Booker. I do like Booker. I watched him. I had a Mike Renner on, and he clued me onto him. I hadn't really watched him, and I did like his tape a lot. So we'll go Austin Booker there.
All right. The only reason
He's 2 years younger than Trice.
That is pretty significant. And the only reason I even watched Booker, because again, like I haven't been watching defensive players unless the Patriots have had them in for a visit or shown some interest. just looking at his highlights really quickly, I was like, there was a different move on his highlight reel every single clip. And apparently he hasn't really played the position for very long.
Yeah.
He's still developing, needs to fill out his frame. But looking at his pass rush style, I was like, this is your Josh Uche guy, where if he balls out and then earns a big contract somewhere else, or maybe he doesn't play up to expectation, you got another guy in the wings who, if he fills out, could maybe even be your Judon replacement down the road.
I'm looking at my notes from him because I was trying to remember. And I wrote comp, a horse, an actual horse. he's got an unbelievably long gait. He's 6'6", uses his eyes. I wrote down, question marks about figuring out his pass rush plan and his moves. But the way he moves, his movement ability is really impressive.
Yeah. Okay. So we are going to pick him, but I want to know, because these are guys who might get picked in this range, what do you think about the Washington receivers, Polk and McMillan? Polk is somebody that I watch a decent enough. McMillan, I don't know a ton about. So give it to me. What do you think?
They're both awesome players, honestly. And they both got taken, right? I mean, Polk will not be there in the third round. There's no chance.
I think
Polk is going to go earlier than people expect, because he is a quarterback's best friend. I know it's a cliche, but it's the player he gets comped to a lot is a guy you guys know very well, and Jacoby Myers, for good reason. I mean, he catches literally everything thrown at him. Good frame, good route running ability, super smart, can win the line of scrimmage. I love him. And McMillan, he might be available here. I haven't really seen where he's being mocked. But obviously
he's gone too. He went at the end of the second. Go Washington.
I'm sure you've been watching UW tape. It's crazy. Like I'll never have that experience again. he's really, really, really talented slot receiver. Very well-rounded game. He is very New England-y too. So if he were actually available, I think he would be a nice fit, but it really comes, it's just so obviously, you guys have such a glaring need in such a specific type of receiver that you need, and he's not it, obviously.
Yeah. And also for, the Washington, if you still want to have that kind of fun, I'm hoping that the Seahawks find some way to get Michael Penix Jr. Keep the ball rolling. All right. Locked in. Let's see our results.
What do we get?
Oh, we got an award. The heck? I didn't even know this was a thing. What for?
What did it say?
The
grade is just whether you agree with the PFF consensus, right? So
I think so. Oh, we got nine. That's not bad.
It's pretty good. A's good. I'll take an A.
Top 50.
How do you feel about this draft? Franklin is divisive.
Yeah. I honestly, it still gives you the guy where, like, defenses have to acknowledge that he exists. And that's something they don't really have. So worst case scenario, he is like a number two masquerading as a wide receiver one in this depth chart. Then next year, and this is what I think is going to happen, next year you get your true wide receiver one.
Oh,
he becomes a stellar number two.
Compliment. I'll say this about Franklin. When you watch Oregon and you watch Bo Nix, the whole time you're just like, God damn, everybody's open. And there's a reason why. He's very good at getting open, which is something that's been lacking in New England for some time.
Yep, so you get openness, you get speed, and you get a pass rusher, which the Patriots still need. And with all the depth that they have in this draft, hey, get Bub Means in the fifth round. You're good. You're golden. All right. I think we did a pretty dang good job. Mina, that was a blast. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it, as always. Please let the people know what fantastic stuff I know you got coming down the pipe.
Yeah. A lot of Patriots talk on the podcast lately. Mina Kime Show featuring Lenny. And then I've been doing these mock drafts on my YouTube channel as well. Again, a lot of Patriots talk there. YouTube.com/@MinaKimes. You guys should check it out.
Absolutely. Do a great job, as always. I've been watching those mock drafts. Those are a lot of fun. It's just the Patriots have so many needs. I was like, I don't know if I can pick just two for these. We got to keep the gate a little open. But again, thank you so much for your time. And thank you all for watching, as always. Now, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. We'll see you next time. Peace, y'all.